Steve Martin tweets, good news, bad news. The good news, I just got vaccinated. Bad news, I got it because I'm 75. Ha, huh, he writes. The operation in New York City was smooth as silk, sorry about the cliche, and hosted to perfection by the U.S. Army and National Guard. Thank you all, and thank you, science. All pro lines with a quality football joke. Aaron Rodgers had more time in my pocket than my high school condom. Hashtag Packers. Michael Ian Black says, in the last year, I've eaten in a restaurant fewer times than the president has been impeached. Think about that. It's true for me as well. Stephen Colbert said, the president's right that people shouldn't compare him to Nixon. Nixon got reelected. Sam B. talking about Vice President Pence reportedly being stunned and incensed by the riot, said, Mike Pence, be real. You just want an excuse to get the heck out of there. You're like me at a dry wedding. I don't care about love. I care about getting effed up for free. Seth Meyers on the president being impeached twice said, it's like entering the Tour de France, coming in dead last and getting kicked out for steroids, then entering again the next year, only to forget your bike, forcing you to steal someone else's and scream, you'll never catch me, before crashing into a cow. And Stephen Colbert commented on all the troops moving into D.C. for Biden's inauguration, saying, well, the United States is known for sending in troops to prop up failed states. Hopefully we'll greet ourselves as liberators. The Washington Post did a long interview with several of the Trump impersonators. J.O. Covan, in character as Trump, said, we're going for a hat trick. I'm going to get a third impeachment in my last week, and then nobody will ever touch me. James Austin Johnson talked about his approach to doing Trump. He likes to impersonate singers, so when he recognized that Trump's delivery had a certain tunefulness, his flowing free jazz impression began to click. Johnson said, I know the music of preachers and salesmen, and Trump fans love the song that he sings. For his approach, he realized the material didn't have to be political. His Trump could deliver a spontaneous, nonsensical thing about rock band lyrics or a kid's show. For example, he did one about Scooby-Doo that got 2.3 million views, saying, we're giving way too much attention to Mr. Scooby, and he's not doing anything. Scooby-Doo, he doesn't do. Johnson said, I started having success with my Trump once I made him charming. Jeff Bergman is the voice of Trump on Our Cartoon President. He grew up in New York City in the 60s and 70s as the son of a New York retail salesman and filed away what people from Queens sound like. People from Queens sound like me, by the way, because I'm from Queens. Bergman said, the thing I always loved about studying Trump is when he would make a speech, he was just in love with the sound of his voice. He thought he was telling you the most unreal thing you were ever going to hear. Johnson was asked who does the best Trump as a complete character. He picked Anthony Atamnuick. That's who I would pick as well, saying Atamnuick captures the emotion of Trump in a way that Johnson is not doing. He's the sketch comedy Daniel Day-Lewis of channeling the commander-in-chief. Atamnuick says, ultimately, a Trump impression is like Elvis or Shatner. How many corridors can you go down? Atamnuick says, no one's going to want to see my Donald Trump now. Anyone who is seeking Trump comedy after January 21st, I just feel bad for them. Covan said a friend of his bought him an orange prison shirt, so I may make an infrequent series where I say it's Trump in 2023 from prison. My mom just asked me to tone down the Trump comedy because of all the nuts out there. The reason I keep doing videos since this coup attempt is because I never had any illusions about who Trump is. CBS Sunday Morning caught up with Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah. She used to pantomime to Donald Trump videos on TikTok. We'll get to that. As she moves to the next stage of her career, she admits to some anxiety to CBS, saying, what if that was it, you know? What if that was my 15 minutes? Like, what if I'll never be able to do anything as incredible as that again? Jim Axelrod was the host of the piece, asking Sarah, if we're sitting on this bench in 5 years, what do you feel like we're going to be talking about? Sarah's answer, I would like to make the next Seinfeld. I would like to make the next Office. I would love to do a show that's really very much in my voice. But as for Trump, I think we're done. We're done. We're not going to see anymore. I feel like I kind of have to use it as a propellant, but I also have to escape it in a way like I don't want to be known as the lip-syncing girl. The comedy news is a little light today. Luckily, I had squirreled away this article Jerry Seinfeld did with Parade Magazine. It's Seinfeld Quick Takes. I don't think I have busted this out in the past, but if I have, it goes pretty quickly. So let's just jump in this. All right, Jerry Seinfeld, comic book or library book? Comic book, because it was heaven to me. Archie and Riverdale, those were words you could go into a heartbeat because of those infantile drawings. Least favorite breakfast food, Jerry Seinfeld. A poached egg. I love hard-boiled. Hate poached. Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers, or the Three Stooges? Definitely not the Stooges. Harpo Marx was my favorite, but Abbott and Costello's Who's on First routine is an incredible jazz progression. They taught me the structural elegance of writing. Jerry Seinfeld's favorite late-night snack. Frosted Flakes. Jerry Seinfeld's childhood toy he wishes he still had. I still have my ventriloquist dummy, but I don't have my baseball cards and my comic books, and I'd love to get those back. Cat or dog? And this is where I think I've talked about this in the past. Jerry's answer. Dog. I have two dogs, but they're not real dogs. They're dachshunds. But my wife has two cats, and I love hearing her conversations with them. What does that mean, his wife has two cats? Like, two dogs live in the same house as I do, and my wife also lives here. I have two dogs, and my wife has two dogs. They're not, like, my dogs. I'm confused. I digress. Jerry Seinfeld's favorite article of clothing. Right now, my Timberland 3i Classic Lug shoes. I just started wearing them. They're incredibly well made, and the composition of the rubber sole is so perfect for your feet. I can't believe I've gone so much of my life without them. They're better than tennis shoes. They're just better for walking around because of the compound of the rubber. It is just enough cushion, and yet there's a firmness. I'm a very foot-oriented person. Yeah, I think I did a whole thing about that tennis shoes thing, right? Jerry Seinfeld is from New York City, where we call those things sneakers, but let's move on. Ricky Gervais tweets, this year marks the 20th anniversary of David Brent hitting our screens. I was thinking of getting real pop stars to cover some of his songs. Who should do which songs? Asks Ricky Gervais. Someone's put the whole Life on the Road album up on YouTube for free, says Ricky. And he includes a link there, or go to Ricky Gervais' Twitter, or, you know, go to YouTube and search Life on the Road. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Remember I told you the BBC was putting some warnings on some sitcoms? Well, Toby Young is the General Secretary of the Free Speech Union. Well, that's some title, General Secretary of the Free Speech Union. He described the broadcaster as woke. He said the BBC has been taken over by the woke cult. Its managers are like 17th century witchfinder generals, constantly on the lookout for heretics. Any programs that depart from their narrow ideological dogma are immediately slapped with a moral health warning. Someone needs to remind them that Britain is the birthplace of parliamentary democracy, and the license payers who pay their wages believe in free speech. A spokesman for the BBC said some older programs on occasion contain language that some viewers find offensive, inappropriate, or which have now fallen out of use. And for that reason, we do make that clear on BBC iPlayer and elsewhere. Did you watch WandaVision? If you haven't, you should. It's on Disney Plus. I know it's a superhero show, but the gimmick so far in the first two episodes is they're aping old sitcoms. A lot of influences from the Dick Van Dyke Show, especially the way it's filmed and how the living room set looks, and a whole lot of Bewitched. And that's not me saying it. I mean, they did opening credits in the style of Bewitched. They're not hiding it. Taking the superhero stuff out of it for a second, just as a sitcom, like it's like Bewitched, but Marvel, it was hilarious. I watched both episodes the other night and I was thoroughly entertained. I can't wait to see more episodes of WandaVision on Disney Plus. That is my recommendation of the day. If you would like to support this show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You could support the show by clicking the tip jar. You could buy me a large iced coffee for $5 or be a supporter of the show for $5 a month. They said to set goals, so I set one and I've decided if I get $100 in memberships, I'll do an entire episode saying nice things about Adam Sandler movies. So that's buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews if you want to do that. I appreciate it. If you don't, no problem. You can follow the show on Spotify. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Overcast or wherever you get your shows. Catch you tomorrow, Last Trump Day.